We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart. Holy new world preserve for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Word of God ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart. Word of God ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart.
Changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each one of you. And you can have your seats for a moment. Good to see Sister Regina with us tonight. Amen. And I'm gonna do something everybody asked me to do. So, what? Did somebody say something? I don't know what key we're gonna be in, but we're gonna open up and let her fly, and then we'll find out where we're at. But I've been singing this song today, and I ain't had, I've just been rushing around. I ain't even had a chance. Sometimes I go home, get my guitar out, and start trying to figure out where I'm at, but I hadn't even done that. But I'm going to sing this tonight.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. There are blessings you cannot receive till you know Him in His fullness and believe. You're the one to profit when you say, I am going to walk with Jesus all the way. Yes, sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. If you say he saved you from your sin, now you're weak, you're bound and cannot enter in. You can make it right if you will yield. You'll enjoy the Holy Spirit that we feel. Yes, sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Yes, sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
Amen. And I can say I'm standing in that presence this evening. There's a sweet, sweet spirit here. We're standing in the presence on holy ground. And whatever you have need of, he's here to meet your need. And that's what my prayer is tonight. Wherever you're at, whatever your need is, I pray the Holy Spirit come by and touch you, minister to you. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to look right into the scripture tonight. And y'all just pray for me. And we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. We're going to read a very familiar scripture tonight. And before we read the scripture, let's just speak to the author. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this service, Lord. We thank you for all you've done for us, Lord, that we're able to gather in tonight. And Father, I just pray that you'll just come and speak to us in a special way tonight. And Lord, for the ones that couldn't be here with us tonight, Lord, whatever the need is, Lord, whatever the situation is, we just pray that you be with them. And Lord, we just commit all things to you, and we just pray that you just come and touch the speaker and the hearer alike, Lord Jesus. Father, you just have your will and way with us tonight. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, for, Lord, what you've been able to do through us, Lord. And there's many that have needs, Lord. We still think of the ones in North Carolina and Tennessee, Lord, and the different places, Lord, that, Lord, such devastation, Lord, and all that. We just pray that you just continue to bless them, Lord, strengthen them, comfort them. And Lord, there's just so many that have needs, but Lord, we realize that you are the way maker. Lord, you answer all of our questions. Lord, you just give us what we have need of and the right time, and we just commit ourselves to you. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. And I just want to take a little thought tonight. Fitly joined together. And the scripture here says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. And, you know, if you look this up, it's the fitly joined together means the proper, complete way that something is to be joined together. And so we know how the body is put in position. And this is, I just want to read this quote. This is from What Does It Take to Make a Christian Life? And Brother Branham's speaking here. He says, "But in the Word I find that God did not intend for the church to be governed by intellectual or by any theology of man, but the Holy Spirit was given to the church to govern and control the body of Christ. And I think in doing that, with that in mind and in God's program, we will never be successfully, no matter how good our intentions are, until we get back into the center of God's program where the Holy Spirit," and he says, now realizing this is not a new thing to teach, but he said, we just want to approach this. And he says, but we are still thinking that it is a Holy Spirit controlled church. And he was talking about how they had, you know, the intellectuals and different things come in. But he said, and when the Holy Spirit desires to do a thing and degrade something or lift something up, he said it causes petty jealousy among the people, which proves they haven't got the Holy Spirit. He said every man would want to be in his place. And that's when he was talking about that was the reason why they had denominations and things come in, because people had got away from the Word and not being led by the Holy Spirit. And so we started to see these denominations. And then he was talking about, he said, then from there, because of the denominations, he said, we had spiritual dictators telling people what to do. He said, spiritual dictators in the church to say thus and thus. But he said, the Holy Spirit has placed everyone into the body of Christ. And he said, we're helpless to maneuver without every member of our body. We have to have my hands, my arms, my mouth, my eyes. Everything that's in me has to operate to make my body function perfectly. And then if God wanted his body, the church, to be governed by his Spirit, there has got to be some way or some program that we've got to enter into other than what we have already had. And so I want to look at this tonight because, you know, understanding that, you know, it takes the whole body to work together and how everything has to function. And, you know, everybody that's in the body of Christ, you have a position, you have a part. And, you know, because there's no big I's or little U's, there's none of that. But everybody's important in the eyes of God and in the plan of God and in the body of Christ. They're, you know, because we all are one. And, you know, you see, you know, just simple, small things that happen. But when these little things come up, it affects everybody. And, you know, nobody's on an island. And, you know, as the old saying is, you know, nobody jumps over the moon, pulls themselves up by their bootstraps. You know, I mean, because, you know, we've all had to go through things, but you know what? It takes somebody leading us. Brother Brown was talking about there in leadership when he was talking about, you know, when we grow, you know, we have a mom and a dad that brings us up, that teaches us how to go. And, you know, we learn all the things that we're supposed to learn. Somebody has to teach you how to walk and, you know, brings you all the way through and does all these things for you. Then you get a teacher and they start to teach you all these things, and you start to grow and you start to learn. But it takes somebody to lead you and show you how to go that way. And you just don't do it all on your own, because you know it'd be amazing that we didn't have to have somebody. But we all have to have somebody to lead us and help us along the way, and we can't do it all by ourselves. And see, everybody has to work their part. And Brother said, every piece in the church must work together, and you must keep up your part of it. So we see what time we're living in. He said, we may be closer than we think we are. So everybody has their part, and everybody's important, and everybody has to do what God has called you to do. And so whatever the part is that you've got to do, you got to realize that you're important in the plan of God. You've got to see that you're an essential part of the function of the plan of God. The body of Christ has to function. And, you know, many times people are like, well, I don't feel like that I fit in anywhere. And, you know, because the devil will always try to tell you that you're insignificant and you're not. But you know what? If you're a son or a daughter of God, then you've got a place and a position. And you've got to see who you are. And you've got, because the thing is, if I say one thing tonight, you got to realize that who you are, because Brother Ren said, the weakest Christian, the smallest, whoever it is, you know, if you're in that position, he said, you can make all the devils in hell shake. You can put all of them on the run. You can shake the foundation of hell just by your prayers, just by your believing. Why? Because it's not who you are, but it's what you have possession of. Because it's what you are an heir of. Then if you become an heir of that, then you know you don't have to worry about what other things take place. You just got to put your trust and confidence in God and realize who you are. Because all of the blessings, the divine blessings that are given to the children, it's not one person over somebody else. You know, one person has this, and but you know, when you start to look at people's lives, you say, "Well, I wish I was just like Brother Bob." You know, Brother Bob's got it all made, and everything's so great, and then you know, but sometimes you talk to Brother Bob, and you find out, you're just like, "Well, Brother Bob, I'll be praying for you, brother." Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because you know, everybody looking on the outside, you think everything's great, but all of a sudden, when Brother Bob tells you, it's like, you know, they share with you, it's like, "Well, you know what? Brother Bob's got a lot of burdens too." And sometimes it's like, you know, it's not as rosy as everybody else. That's it. Amen. Correct. So sometimes, you know, we don't realize it. Just like the little story about the man that had the cross, he had to carry the cross, and you know, he's talking to the Lord that he didn't like this cross. He's like, "I don't like this cross. It's just too heavy. It's just too cumbersome. You know, I just don't like this." And the Lord said, "Well, come here. I've got this room in here. The room full of crosses. Come in here and find you a different cross to carry. Just lay your cross down, pick up another cross." Well, he started going through there, and he picked up this one cross, and he's like, "I don't like this one." And he went to the next cross, and he's like, "Well, I don't like this one. This one's too long. This one's too heavy. This has got too many splinters, you know, just whatever, whatever." There's always some kind of issue with every cross that he came along. And then he was like, "Well, you know what?" He said, "I like this cross over here." Went over and picked it up. He's like, "I think I'll take this cross." And the Lord said, "Well, that's the cross you brought in." And sometimes when we realize all of the things that people have been through, you know, sometimes because he said he wouldn't put any more upon you than you can bear. And so when you go through those things, you realize God has put you in a place that you are able to go through the things that God knows that you can overcome, that you can handle. So that's the things that he gives you. And you know, so sometimes we want to complain about things, but sometimes we ought to give thanks for the things that we have, we don't have, the condition that we're in. As Paul said, in everything give thanks. With everything that we have, to be content where we are, to realize where God has placed us. See, we see how all these things take place. And, you know, Brother Branham was speaking one time, and he was speaking, and he was talking about Benjamin Franklin. And, you know, he was talking about how Benjamin Franklin went out and, you know, he was flying the kite. And, you know, he was a very scientific type man. And, you know, he wanted to learn more about things that were going on. And, You know, as they were trying to learn about electricity and different things, you know, he went out there and he started flying that kite one day. And, you know, he had an idea that, you know, that lightning was electricity. And so, you know, he got out there and he flew that kite, you know, when he touched it. That day that he went out there and was flying that kite and he touched that thing and he's like, you know what? He said, he felt something. He's like, I felt it. I got it. Because it answered the question. It was a proof to him what he was looking for exactly was what came to him. And so it was exactly what he was looking for as he was pursuing this, and he came across this, and he got to that. And then Brother Bram said, you know, he said that Benjamin Franklin was able to tell us about electricity, but he said it was Edison and the other ones, you know, they were actually able to harness that power to make it usable for where it's at today. To where we stand today, these are the things that we're looking at today. And so Brother Branham says in the fundamental foundation of faith, you know, he was talking about this. And he says, now, if the natural laws of God, which is electricity and things, once handled, which handed in the right capacity, can do those things. Talking about lights and different things that we have today. He said, how much more could the power of the Holy Ghost, once passing through the human heart by faith, what it could do. He said, now God has not promised electricity only just might have set them free, but look what the Holy Spirit has promised to the believers today. And then we look back and we see that God put electricity here for a certain thing, and science is moving up into the field of science and bringing it out. So when he's talking about science starting to bring these things out, and he's talking about the Christian experience, but Brother Ram says, but we as Christians, we become too clogged up. We just can't understand. Well, we think about, he said, the doctor said, I can't get well. As long as you think that, then you're not thinking God's thoughts. He said, you can't do it if you say, well, I'm going to die. The doctor said I was going to die. He said, all regards to the doctor, that's the best of his knowledge. Yeah. But he said, see, that's not by the word. Right. By the word, it says that we're healed. Yeah. He said, because he promised me that whatever I asked the Father in his name would be granted. He said, I believe that's truth. So when I see this, then I take it by what he said. He said, now, if God could just clear that little channel out and run that energy out to that place, then something's going to happen. He said, the whole body is set together to operate, and his life begins just as sure as it takes every member of my body to operate and give me life, so does it take every member of the body of Christ to operate together to get it right. He said, some are set in the church, teachers, apostles, prophets, the gifts of healing, miracles, speaking with tongues, interpretation, and so forth. He said, all those things in this one great mystic body of Jesus Christ moving on the earth. And someday, I believe it's near the end right now. So it's going to continue on because the things that were set in order will continue on until the coming of the Lord. And so everything that has said, he said, and tonight, he said, just like tonight, at this light here, speaking of the lights, he was pointing out, he said, this light here and that light, he said, it has give that little sling across the road over yonder, run the wire out there. That's the material. Yeah. He said, well, now when the energy goes into that wire, it'll produce just exactly like it was in here. So when you see that, when whatever the conditions were in the one place, if you just continue, it's the same conditions that have to be met. It'll do the exact same thing. Right, yeah. And so he is speaking here, but he was talking about, he said, but see, he said, the plumbing might be all right. He said, but you see by the water, but see, it takes, the wiring has to be correct. And he said, if the body is correctly wired up and the Father in heaven turns the big master switch on, something's going to rise up. That's right, that if it's the body is, if the building is properly wired and if it's properly taught and every fiber of our body being lost in Christ and to his word alone. See, he said, but if you've got some theology or some doctrine or some superstition, he said, you get some unbelief, he said, it's going to stop right there. It'll go to right there. He said, but you've got, it'll stop it. He said, then that energy will never pull through you. But when you got to a place where you're perfectly wired, and the master electrician has okayed it by sealing it with the Holy Spirit, the only thing is just turn on the switch then, and there will be a light show, and that's right. So we see how when these things have to take place, then everybody has their position, and everything works in its right order. Then God has called us all to our right place. But he says, if the body, you know, you've got to be connected in the right way and knowing where you've got to be and what your position is, that you can have the same power. It's the same power that'll flow through you. And you say, why is it that, I was looking at one time, talking about the women that, caused revivals. And, there's a little, that little woman that was at the well and she was talking to Jesus. And, here she was, she couldn't come when the rest of them came. She was an ill-famed woman. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with her. But you know what? She came and met the Master. She had an appointed time to meet the Master. And when she met him and he began to deal with her situation, then you know what? She turned around and began to testify to the whole town. And the whole town began to believe what she said, because she come back and said, look, this is the man. Is this not the Messiah? Identifying exactly, because it was because of what her experience was, what she had been through, she turned around and told all the rest of them. And how many times have, you read through history and you see the different ones where they talk about the different revivals that took place. And what was it? It was some little washwoman somewhere that was out praying over the community or whatever. It was some woman in the church cleaning it and praying over the church. And you know what? And then it began to break out in a revival. And it was some kind of simple thing that took place, but not realizing. But you know what? It was the desire of a sister's heart that she was desiring a revival to take place. And you know what? She began to seek that. And you know what? Because through her prayers, and maybe nobody else knew what she was praying. Nobody else knew what was going on. But you know what? God saw the desire of that sister's heart, that woman's heart. And it's like, well, nobody else knew, but you know what? She knew. And you know what? She had faith to believe. And she began, all of a sudden, the whole community changed. All of a sudden, the church is on fire. Why? Because it just takes one person. One, to most, it would be, well, that's some insignificant person. But you know what? It wasn't insignificant to God. Amen. And say, so what was it? That person, well, they're just some sister, just some, maybe some young person. But you know what? They were tied into the right power. Right. Amen. They had anchored into that source. And all they had to do was wait for that switch to be turned. And it's the same way. We say, well, we don't, we wonder why things don't happen the way they do. Well, we're waiting on somebody else. Well, no. Maybe the reason why things don't change in your situation is because you're not the one. That's right. Well, maybe the reason why our church doesn't change is because of me. Because if we look at it as a whole body, then I realize, the buck stops here. We find many people that they're out looking to see what everybody else is doing and looking to see what's going on. And I realize, sometimes you got to take an inventory of your own self to know what's going on and be more worried about your own self and what's going on. I was listening to a man the other day, and he was talking about paying tithes and people wanting to help the poor and different things like that. And he was talking about, you can help the poor, you can help the widows, because that's all scriptural. But he said, that's not paying tithes. And he said, because there is a law of God that has to do with paying tithes. And he said, when you don't follow what the Scripture says about paying tithes, you can't expect the blessing that comes with that. Because there's a divine order that sits in there. You have to follow that. But you see these people, and Brother John, this will be good for you. You put this in your notes. But he was talking about, some people, they'll blow through money. They're loose with their own money. But he said, when it comes to the house of God, You know, they are. Some people are so nosy about how the church spends money. You know, when you know, we're getting new carpet, and the pastor's driving a new car, and this and that and the other, and it's like, listen, you know, when you pay your tithes, I'm not paying tithes to Spoken Word Church. I'm not paying tithes to Brother Dale, to Brother Wade. I'm not paying tithes to him. I'm paying tithes to God. When I pay my tithes, you know what? I'm paying my tithes into God, into the storehouse, and then God, because what I've done is operated the gift, the law of God, and then you know what? It activates the gift in my life to be blessed. Then I just put that in the hands of God. Because why are we so worried about people, you know, how people in the church spend money or whatever, how all this, but you know, it's like, well, you know, they ain't got two nickels to rub together, but they want to know how the church is spending money.
Tell it, brother.
And it's like, well, you know what, if you were, and I'm not talking about anybody here, but I'm just saying, but the way this brother was bringing it out, it was so good. He's like, you know, he said, because if you were more concerned about your own finances, about your own personal finances, are you about the church spending money, said you'd be better off. And so you see how these people, they get all wrapped up in things and not realizing that, you know, if God gives you, because you see people that they don't make a lot of money. They make less money than other people. And they got more money than people that makes a lot of money. Why? Because people have never learned how to save money, because what the scripture tells you, how to be a wise steward of the money. And what God has given you, how to be a steward to that money. As Brother John's been telling us for all these times. But see, people want a blessing. Well, you know, they want to reach that financial jubilee, Brother John. They want to get to that place. But you know what? They don't follow the law that's set in order to get to that place. You know, and so if you don't follow that, then how are you supposed to be blessed? And so there's many things in just the same way that everything in your life, there is a plan, there's a purpose in God on how to do things. And when people don't follow it, they wonder why they don't ever get anywhere. You've got to follow the plan of God. If you will just do, because, you know, it's like, well, you know, you see people and it's like, you know, you see Brother Ryan and you look at Brother Ryan and everybody's like, well, you know, I wish I was like Brother Ryan. You know, Brother Ryan's got it made. He's got, you know, and it's like, well, you know, no people, but when Brother Ryan gets up here and he does Sunday school, he's very open about his Christian walk, his Christian experience. But, you know, there's a lots of times that, you know, he spends a lot of time praying. He spends a lot of time reading. You know, he spends a lot of time with the Lord. And everybody's like, well, you know, if you don't ever put the time in, don't expect to get anything out of it. Because you've not put the time in. If you don't invest nothing, don't expect a return. You know, it's like, you know, I tell Adam all the time, Adam wants to be a college football player. You know, that's his whole, you know, one of his goals in life. You know, he just loves football. He eats, sleeps, and breathes football. But you know, I tell him, it's like, listen, if you're gonna be, I show him like these little videos of these players. That's the people you got to compete against. Yeah. 14-year-old kids, and I mean they're muscular, they're a whole lot bigger than him. I was like, that's kids you got to compete against. Yeah. I said, you've got to put in. But I tell him, listen, if you want to be at this level, if you want to be at the Division I level, I said, then you got to be Division I in everything that you do. I said, if you're going to be Division I, you need to be a D1 in the classroom. You need to be one on the practice field. You need to be one in the weight room. Whatever you do, if you don't have that mentality that you're going to be the very best that you can be, you'll never get anywhere. Because you know what? Somebody that's slower than you, but they'll out-hustle you. You look at some of the greatest football players that's ever played. Walter Payton was one of the best, but you know, he never was the fastest. He never was the biggest. But there's one thing about it. You weren't going to stop him. I mean, here's a man. Because the heart that he had, the drive that he had was so much bigger than anybody on the field. And so if you don't have that desire, if you don't have that drive, if you don't have that zeal, then you know what? You're not going to get anywhere. Because many times the devil comes along, and what does he do? He starts to put hindrances in your way.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
You get these little hindrances, these little things that come up in your life, and you wonder, well, I don't know what's going to take place, or, well, I don't know. It's like, tonight, I guess I'm just going to skip praying. I'm just not going to read as much. I'm just not going to do this. No. And it's like, well, you know, I just want to cut my prayer time short. But, you know, sometimes the problem is we don't press in. You know, you think about the message, recognizing your day and its message. When Brother Branham was there, and he said, I felt like the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me something, wanted to speak to me. And he said, everything that he done was a hindrance. He said the food that he ate didn't agree with him. It was so hot, and he went down in the basement. He's trying to read. He was trying to pray. He kept falling asleep. Just all these myriad things just kept coming. But you know what? He just didn't say, well, Lord, I'll just wait till tomorrow or some other day. But you know, he said, I kept pressing in. I kept pressing in. I kept pressing in. And he said, he kept going on. And he said, you know, early in the morning, he said, the Lord came and spoke to him. And he said, he gave me this message. And so, see, many times when people are looking for an answer, well, they don't, I was talking to somebody one time, we were talking about the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I was like, you know, that's unheard of nowadays. It's like, sweet minute of prayer, sweet minute of prayer. But, you know, there were times when, you know, people prayed all night long. And people don't know what that is. But you know, they wonder why. You say, well, why are we don't live a victorious life? Why don't we have an overcoming life? Why? Because you've not put the time in. Because if you've not laid before and laid in the altar and laid before God until you got your answer, just like Jacob standing there telling when the Lord came to him, he said, listen, he said, I got to go. He said, nope. He said, I'm going to hold on to you. And he said, until you bless me.
Right.
He didn't give up. He held on till he got his blessing. And it's the same way with you and I. We've got to hold on and continue to press in. Because, you know, if you do your part, and it's a challenge to each one of us. Because, you know, each one of us has to do our part. You know, years ago, I when I was in high school, I took a carpentry class. And in a lot of the trade classes nowadays, if you do everything, you know, it's you go in and you build a birdhouse and you build these little things. We didn't do none of that. When we done construction, we done construction. I mean, we took 2x10s and 2x12s and we nailed them all together, and we'd have floor joists, you know, 3 2x12s nailed together, or 2, 3, or 4, you know, 2x8s nailed together. And, you know, and we'd have to go set them things in. We'd go to somebody building a garage or building an addition or whatever. And we'd go put them things in place. And it was just a bunch of boys putting them things in place. Well, they had a guy, and he liked to talk. I mean, he was strong. But, you know, he was just standing around watching everybody else. And he liked to talk and not pay attention to what was going on. And he just stand there, and we got this big floor joist, and he got his arm wrapped around him. And he ain't paying no more attention than the man in the moon. And he's standing around talking. Everybody's trying to move his thing around. He just...
Right.
One day, got ready to lift the thing up. They picked him up off the ground. You know why? Because he wasn't paying attention. All of a sudden, he got taken up off his feet once because he just had his arm wrapped around it. Yeah. And it's like, instead of being there and keeping up and not seeing what's going on and trying to be an asset and trying to be a help, he just added more weight to the job. Right. And then when he realized, oh, you know what? I'm standing here getting picked up off the ground. And then the carpentry teacher got on to him because, you know, he's like, well, you know what? You're one of the strongest, one of the biggest guys out here. He said, why are we picking you up? Why aren't you doing your part? And sometimes that's what happens to us. We get lulled to sleep and not realize, you know, we're not doing our part. We're not trying to be an asset to the kingdom of God. We're not doing what we could be doing. Because you know what? We just float along and somebody else is carrying us. Now, I'm not saying eight times, you know, it's nice to be carried and sometimes you need a little help. But, you know, sometimes we don't realize, you know, it's us that needs to be doing something. Not just the same ones over and over and over. Well, it's like, well, you know, we'll just wait on Brother Luis. Brother Luis will get up here and he'll preach us happy. And then, you know, he'll get up here and he'll sing us happy or whatever. It's like, well, you know what? It ain't all Brother Luis. And you know what? And if Brother Luis gets up here and sings and wants you to clap your hands or raise your hands or whatever, and you know, and it's so, I'm just going to preach tonight, whether y'all like it or not. I'm sorry. But you know what? The problem is when they say clap your hands and you're like this.
Amen.
Right.
I appreciate that.
Raise your hands. Well, you know what? You don't get no, you know, it's like, well, what did you put into the service to get anything out of the service? But you know, it's like, and I'm gonna tell you my philosophy, because some of the brothers have asked, and I was glad to share. But you know what? I'm not gonna get up here and lead when I lead singing. I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hands. I'm not gonna ask you to clap your hands. I'm not gonna ask you to do anything, because you know what? I expect you to do that on your own. I'm sorry, that's just me, because you know what? I'm going to enter in, and I'm going to enjoy myself, because you know, when I get up here, because everybody says, when you lead singing, you know, they enjoy it. Well, you know what? I'm enjoying myself whether y'all enjoy it or not. I'm not singing for y'all, and y'all shouldn't be singing for me. Because you know what? If the Lord's done something for you, then you ought to be able to make a joyful noise unto the Lord for what God's done for you. Because you know what? Sometimes when you raise your hands and you clap your hands and you got something to say and testify about something, you know what? It becomes contagious to somebody else. That somebody else will be that will be encouraged by what you've got to say. Amen. See, if we don't enter in, then how? You know, it doesn't help, because it's like, you know, Brother Wade's like, say amen. Say amen. You know, it's like, you know, you got to pull on everybody. No, you know what? Because you operate the gift. So if you do the pulling, then you know what? We don't have to say, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you say amen? Whatever. Because you know what? If it's something on the inside of you that touches you, then you will respond to it. You will respond to that, because if it touches you, then you'll have to respond to it. See? See, if we understand the union that we have, the fellowship that we have, that it brings all these things together in harmony with Jesus Christ. And Brother Brown's talking about how it brings us into fellowship. See, we understand who we are. We come into fellowship. Now, Brother Brown's speaking here in influences. He's talking about on the day of Pentecost. He said when Jesus told them to wait there, wait on the day of Pentecost. You know, they had to wait the time. He said, now remember, Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. They waited not 8 days, not 9 days. They waited 10 days until the promise was made manifest. And the Holy Spirit fell and divided itself, and tongues of fire set upon each of them. He said, while they were influenced by the Holy Ghost, they went into action. Staggering like drunk men, screaming and speaking in tongues, out into the street they went. They said, these men are full of new wine. Peter stood up and said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and it'll come to pass in the last days. What did it do? It put him in action. Brother Bram says, it'll put you into action. If you haven't got it, it'll put you into action when you see the word of God fulfilled. He said, when you've seen in these last days ought to put us into action, it should do it if we would just do it with reverence and humility. See, if you have received the exact same thing that they did, and it brought them into a place where they staggered and act like drunk people, and everybody thought they were out of their mind, and was like, wonder what's going on. Well, you know what? If you have the same thing, and it's done the same thing for you, then you know what? You ought to be able to raise your hands. You ought to be able to praise the Lord and give thanks to God without having somebody tell you to do that. Because it'll put you into action. Now, you don't have to run the aisles unless you want to. Come on. And you know what? I would welcome that. Yes. If you want to run the aisles, run the aisles.
That's right.
You know, everybody says, well, you know, don't shout no higher than you can live. Right. You know, well, when you no matter how high you jump, when you come down, make sure you can walk a straight line. Well, you know, a lot of people get into this place where they live in a world of condemnation. Well, you know what? I wouldn't shout because, you know, somebody will look at me and think, well, I don't know why he's doing that. You need to sit down. But you know what? We're all sinners saved by grace. And you know what? And we all have to be covered by the blood. And if you ever get to the place where you don't need the blood, please come talk to me and tell me about it, because I won't know about it. Because you know what? Because there's lots of days I don't even feel like I'm saved. Amen, brother. I work in maintenance. No wonder I don't feel like I'm saved sometimes. But you know, there's lots of days that you come through and it's like, you know, you realize, you feel like I ain't got no temperance, I ain't got no patience. You know, it's like, well, the Lord put all these people in your life to teach you all these things. Because you don't need these things, you know, but so you need them and you don't have them. So this way it's going to make it manifest in your life. And you see all these things, how these things take place. Well, then you realize if you just yield to that, then all of it, then you will, he will lead you in that. And you just, because it'll make it manifest in your life.
That's right.
But everybody, well, the devil comes by and you're like, well, Brother Ryan, you done such 3 years ago. Well, you know what? If he wants to talk about what you done 3 years ago and all the problems that you've had, well, you know what? I ought to stand up and thank the Lord, because you know what? If he's delivered you from that, then you don't have to worry about that anymore. If it's in the sea of God's forgetfulness, then you know what? You ought to just jump up and say, well, praise the Lord. You know what? Because I don't have to deal with that anymore, because it's not accounted to me anymore.
Amen.
Because I'm free of that.
Amen.
And it's like, well, you done this, you said this, you know, but you know, there's a time you got to put all that behind you. If you done what you're supposed to do, because if you go and seek forgiveness, you know, you apologize to somebody, go make it right, and you speak to the Lord, you pray about it, you seek forgiveness. You know what? When it goes into the blood, then you know what? It's done away with. But you know what? But the place that it gets stuck is between our ears. It gets stuck between ours and it never goes any further. So when it comes time to worship, lots of times we're worried about what happened in the past. And we don't realize, you know, we're free.
Amen.
Then if you're free, then you ought to worship.
Amen.
You know, just like when Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And he signed and said, listen, he said, all the slaves in these territories are free. Why? Because they were conquered because the Union Army, which is the American government, they conquered the Confederates. And when they took over, listen, everything that's in these territories becomes our property. And guess what? When it becomes mine, I can do what I want to with it. And you can't say nothing about it because you're defeated. So what did he do? He told them, said, listen, they're free. And lots of people say, well, is that really legal? Well, He said, take it to the court and find out. But he said, by that time, he said, all these people will be free. Because a lot of people, well, you better not do this. Lincoln, you better not do that. But you know what? He said this is what's going to take place. And when those people heard the word of President Lincoln, when he told them, he said, listen, you'll be free. And Brother Bram talking about when they went out there, and he said, when all they had to do was look for the sun to come up. They were out there looking. And he said, the strongest one climbed to the top of the mountain. And they were at the top, and they were looking for the sun to break. When the sun started coming up that morning, he said, they began to yell back down the mountain, we're free. Amen. We're free. Amen. All those people that were down in the valley and different parts up through that mountain, you know what? They couldn't see any of that light. But you know what? There was somebody that came and started to proclaim to them, listen, you're free. Amen. Because we see the sun. The sunlight is shining. And now it is free. Now you can go free. And so it's the same way today. See, as the word of God has begins to shine and the light is being made known, they say you can be free. Right. Because he who the Son has set free is free indeed.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
See, if we can just believe that. See, now, Brother Bram, this is from the message, The Greatest Battle Ever Fought. He said, and I thought... And he's talking about the sun and the different constellations and different things. And he said, I thought that great heavenly host like that, how it keeps to make everything in order. And then he's speaking of the things in heaven. He said, but what about the disorder of the earthly host? How when one gets out of order, how it throws the whole thing out of cater. The whole program of God is upset when one member gets out of order. He said, we should continually strive to keep the order of the Spirit. Amen. Everything has to be done in order. Right. See, if you understand that all of the things has taken place, then you just follow that. Because God has made you free, then all you got to do is follow. Because the leading of the Lord is there to lead you. Amen. To show you all the way through. Amen. And see, if you're led by the Holy Spirit, then he was talking about how every believer in the body is in harmony, because he said the Holy Spirit would just place every member of the body. Yeah. And he said this morning in such harmony. See, if everything takes place, if you're in harmony with the Spirit and the Spirit is leading you, then you know what? There's not going to be anybody out of cater. Because if you're being led by the Spirit, then you know what? The Spirit's not going to be an error. Right. Because if you're being led by the Spirit, then each one of us being led by the Spirit, then guess what? There's going to be harmony. Right. And he said, if we could come to this place and realize we can come to the place of harmony in the Spirit, he said, what would be such a spontaneous healing of soul and body? He said, if we would just hold our positions. See, if we just follow what God has for us, then all these great things can take place. Because what would take place? We would all be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where miracles take place and healings and all these different things that Brother Brown was talking about. Sitting in heavenly places, the believer's position in Christ. If you follow all these things, how all these things would take place. See? If we realize what God is leading us into this, if we just follow that. Now this is, I want to read some of this tonight. This is from Christ the Mystery. You know, they call this the word to the church. But, you know, Brother Brown said, love one another. Above everything, love one another. He said, no matter what the devil tries to say, he said, now you're all one great big sweet group now. But remember my warning. See, Satan won't let that stay that way. Correct. See, whatever the Lord is doing, he starts to bring things in. He said, but don't realize, he said, that Satan's not going to let it stay that way. Yeah. He's coming to attack that thing. He's going to try to tear it apart. He said, he'll bring somebody in and shoot them and make somebody a target, some critic or unbeliever. But he said, you stay right, loving and sweet and kind. He said, don't take sides with it. He said, pray for that man and he'll be saved too, or that woman, whoever it is. Just pray for them and stick one with another. And stay with your pastor because he's the shepherd, and you give him respects, he'll lead you through because he's ordained of God to do that, to do so. And so he begins to talk about it. He said, see, the enemy will come, and when he does, just cling that much closer together. And the one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you. That's right. He said, don't clan among one, or talk or make yourself clannish. We are one. He said, I couldn't say, left hand, I'm mad at you, and I'm going to take you away because you're not my right hand. He's my left hand. I want him to stay there. Right. Even the little tip of my finger, I want to stay right there, every little part of my body. Right. Stay right there. And God wants us as a body of believers to stay right exactly with one another, right at with one another. And he continues on, you know, we've got takes on what we believe. And he said, how we ought to come here together, how we got to come here together and sit together in heavenly places. Don't stay home. If God is in your heart, you can't hardly wait for them doors to open out yonder to get in here to fellowship with your brothers. He said, if you don't feel that way, then I tell you, it's time you get to praying. Amen. That's right. Because he's talking about we're living in the last days and so much more as we see the day approaching. He said, if a brother you think is wrong or a sister, say, Lord, don't let me never have the root of bitterness spring up, because he said it'll affect him. It'll take the Christ right out of my life. That poison acids of malice and jealousy and hatred, that will just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It'll run him from the tabernacle here. It'll kill the Spirit of God. It'll drive it away from here, hurt your pastor. It'll do everything. See, don't do that. Just wax that much closer together. He said, talk nice about one another, say nice things about one another, and then God will bless you. Amen. And I tried to abbreviate some of that because I didn't want to read the whole thing, but I did want to talk about that. Because, you know, if God's leading you, then don't, because, you know, you realize Satan's going to attack that. Yeah. And, you know, every time you try to be drawn together, that's Satan's job. He's coming in to attack that thing. But he said, don't take sides with it. You draw closer to one another. Your brothers and sisters, you got to draw closer together and don't let any of these things hinder you or these things, because it can hinder the church. And you got to work together to bring all these things together. So we got to be loving and sweet and understand one another and all the conditions that things happen. But you realize that God wants us to draw closer, because you know what? You're my brother. I can't be without you. You're my sister. I can't be without you. Because you're an important part of this church. You're a part of the body of Christ. And then, you know, you have your position. I have mine. But, you know, I don't want to be without anybody. And when one person is weak, then, you know, we're all weak. When one person hurts, we all hurt. But, you know, what? When one person overcomes, and it's overcoming for everybody. See, when you realize that what God has called you to, and everybody has their position. And God wants you to have your position, what God has called you to do. And you know, Brother Brandon was speaking here and talking about each person has a ministry. You know, everybody in the body is like, well, I don't know what my ministry is. Well, you know, maybe you make good food. I don't know, you know. Maybe you give an encouraging word. Maybe you pray. Maybe you're here paying tithes. But, you know, whatever it is, you do your part. Right. Amen. Whatever God has you to do. And, you know, in the message, come follow me, Brother Brown was talking about that Brother Leo Mercer was talking to him one time. And, you know, he was talking about Brother Branham's ministry and the changing that was going to take place. And he said, you know, Brother Branham, he said, you'll probably just line up hospitals and speak and empty out all the beds and everything like that. And Brother Branham said, well, it didn't sound right, although I believe Brother Leo was trying to be sincere about it. And he said, but you know, he said, the Lord Jesus never done that. He said, there was one in the hospital. Do you remember when he was down there, the Bible, the pool of Bethesda? Great multitudes of impotent people laid there, crippled, lame, blind, withered, waiting for the angel. Now, that was in a spiritual hospital where people waited on divine healing. And here the divine healer himself came in and healed one and walked out. Right. So you couldn't expect a mortal man or a ministry come forth would be any greater than that was. See, I couldn't agree with that. But Brother Bram talks about the Spirit gives, and he took a piece of paper and he began to write this down. He said, God will never change the ministry, but he will change the man with the ministry. That's what's got to be done. And, you know, I wanted to bring that out tonight because, you know, when people start talking about the ministry, and not just the fivefold ministry, but every part of the body, you know, because whatever God has called you to, he's going to equip you. He's going to make you able to do the job that you've been called to do. And, you know, because when you know, people, lots of times they well, I can't do this and I can't do that. But you know, whatever God's called you to do, the Spirit of God will equip you to do that.
Right.
And many times people in their lives, you see things happen and people have gifts, talents, and sometimes they don't know that they have that ability until they get stuck in a position and all of a sudden they find out they can do those things.
Right.
And so sometimes, you know, those things happen in our lives where I can't do this. I couldn't do that. But then all of a sudden, when it comes time, you know, it's like, well, Lord, you'll just have to help me do this. And all of a sudden, the Lord comes and helps you, and you realize that you can do certain things. You can do more than you think you can. But, you know, many times, speaking of the ministry, you know, I just want to cover this tonight. Because, you see, people, they take this scripture and... You know, Brother Brandon was speaking here of the ministry. And, you know, then they say, well, God will change the man with the ministry. See, they're trying to put this off onto somebody else. But, you know, everybody has their position in the body. See, because just like you have a position, Brother Branham had a position. Brother Branham was called to a position. That he was a prophet and he was the seventh angel messenger. He had a position, he had a job to do, what God called him to do. But you know, that didn't make him any greater. Didn't make him any greater than anybody else, because he was a son of God just like everybody else.
Right.
Now he had a higher office, but it didn't change who he was. Because many times people want to put him on this pedestal. But see, Brother Branham, he said, listen, he said, if you love me, call me brother. He said, I'm just your brother. He said, how many times I'm standing here. I'm just a human. I'm just a man, but I'm representing one. See, he didn't want people putting all this on him. He's wanting you to see Jesus Christ. He couldn't have done any of this without Jesus Christ. And so when you see this, how he's putting all this together, see, he said, but it would, he will change the man with the ministry. Now, lots of times today, you find a number of people that I've went online and people post this, and you know, they're trying to make somebody else in that position. It was like, well, I'm sorry. I appreciate everybody. I love everybody. But let me tell you what, there's only one seventh angel messenger.
Amen. Amen.
There's only one Malachi 4.
Right.
And you know what? Because he brought a man and he was a prophet and he brought us the word and he broke the word to us.
Amen.
Because it was Jesus Christ through that man that spoke to us. Right. And you know what? Then he equipped a fivefold ministry to continue the work. There's not somebody, there's not another one man ministry that's going to come and take over and lead everybody.
Amen.
The next thing we've got the Holy Ghost that's leading us.
Amen.
Through the Word is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And you know, many people have tried to make different, which I'm sure y'all probably catching on to what I'm driving at. But you know, you can't put somebody else in Brother Branham's position. Nobody has been called but Brother Branham to that position.
Right.
And if Brother Branham was called to that position and he fulfilled his position, he fulfilled the word for his day, then Brother Branham continues on here. He said, that's what's got to be done. He said, I know what I've got to do. Now listen to this, what Brother Brown said. What I got to, but I can't do it in the condition that I am now. He said, because I've got to, something has got to happen within me that will take God to do it.
Right.
See, when the word came, and Brother Branham realized he was the prophet, and he understood his calling and the commission that he was given. But you know what? He had to have the growth. There were things that he had to go through. It changed him. But you know what? It didn't change who he was, the position that he was. But God done a work in his life to change him, that he grew up into the position that God wanted him to be in so he could fulfill the word.
Amen.
But you know, it never done away with who he was. And it's the same way, because if Brother Branham came and he had to fulfill his place, then you know what? You and I have to fulfill our place.
Right.
That if Brother Branham came and he had to fulfill the word for his day, with the position that he was in, and he fulfilled that, then he brought the word to us, then you know what? The word comes to you and I, then he does the exact same thing to you and I.
Right. Amen.
Because if God called you to be an end time believer to carry this message and go to a body change, then you know what? Then the word will equip you to do that. And he said, because I can't do it in, Brother Brown said, I can't do it in myself. He said, it's something that God will have to do.
Right.
Well, if it's been promised to you, then realize that I can't do it in myself. But you know what? I realize that God will have to do the work.
Amen.
But you know what? He's equipped us with the word to do that.
Right.
That if you will yield to the Spirit, then you know what? It will take place.
Right.
Just like Brother Brown, when he came to the position that he had to come to. It will come to the same exact place. See, here in modern events made clear by prophecy. See, you can't, nobody can take anybody else's place. God called you to a specific place and he called you to a specific job. Then you know what? You've got to find your place. And you know what? And be faithful to what God called you to do.
Amen.
God's not going to ask you, well, you know, if you've done this or not or that. He wants to know, are you faithful to the calling that you've been given?
Right.
Are you faithful in what God calls you to? You know, it's just like when David was there on the backside of the desert, you know, he was out watching a few sheep, but you know what? He began to have fellowship with God. He had a revelation of who God was, and he began to deal with David, and you know, they had fellowship and all these things that took place. Well, then all of a sudden, when he went through these hard times, these battles, when the bear came in, the lion came in, you know, he didn't just drop everything and run. Why? Because he realized who he was.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, no doubt, the bear and the lion was much bigger than he was. But you know what? He didn't give up.
Yeah. Right.
He went through and he overcame and he won. And he slew both of them.
Right.
So when he come before Saul and he's out there and he sees Goliath, then you know what? He wasn't afraid.
Right. Amen.
Why? Because he had an experience with God.
Right.
That he'd been through something. Then when he went up there and told him, said, listen, I'm not afraid of that Philistine. He said, well, he comes at me with a spear and a sword and all these things. But he said, I come in the name of the Lord.
Right.
He said, because he realized, you know, when he came out against to defy the armies of God, he defied God.
Right.
And then David realized, hey, you know what? This is in the hands of God. All I got to do is go walk out there. All I have to do is have faith in God.
Amen.
That he's got the battle.
Right.
So when he went out there, he wasn't afraid. And he said, oh, this is the best y'all got? Y'all got this little rinky-dink fella y'all send out here? Y'all ain't got a real warrior? He didn't realize he'd met more than his match.
Amen.
And he told him, said, listen, he said, this day I'm gonna take your head off of you. He knew exactly what was going to take place. Because, you know, he realized that the victory had already come before the battle even started. And so just the same way, see, if we understand God has brought us to this place, then we see that God is bringing us through. God has already given us the victory. So this is from Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy. He said, notice now, speaking of Jesus Christ, he said, notice now, he said, they had done to him just exactly what the prophet said they would do, just as they were doing, they are doing to this the very same day in the Laodicean age. He said, if you want to look at it, read Revelation 3, blind, naked, and don't know it. Turning Christ, he said, when he begins to reveal himself into the seed form again, the same one that went into the ground come back to be the bride. Just the bride and the groom is the same flesh and blood, the same ministry and the same things, doing just exactly what he done, the Spirit. So when you see what took place in the past is exactly what's taking place today. If he overcame and the word was fulfilled, whatever he done, then you know what? It's being done exactly the same thing today. The revelation of the word came in his day and he began to open the scripture. We had the same thing in our day. The same one that came and spoke to them began to reveal who he was, who they were, what they were supposed to do, what God had called them to do. Same thing happened today. He's equipping you and showing you who you are. Amen. That you can do the greater works. Amen. And you realize, well, you do your part and everybody does their part, then it all works together. Then he said, when the bride recognizes who she is, says she's going to be an invincible army. See, we all work together. And everybody has to lean on each other. Let's all stand. We'll have the musicians come. Because you realize who you are. Lord, let me be faithful to what you've called me to be. To do my part. You know, Jesus telling the parable of the talents, you know, he gave the different ones, the different servants, the different stewards, the different amounts of talents. You know, one had 10, one had 5, one had 1. But you know, the ones that had, they put it to use and were able to make more. But you know what? The same commission was given to all three of them. And one was like, well, Lord, I just went and buried it. I just had one. But you know what? You never know what he could have accomplished because he never put that one to use.
Right, man.
He's like, well, I don't have whatever, but I don't have what the rest of them have. But you know what? He never used that. And it's like, then he was rebuked by the master, by his Lord, because he didn't do what he was supposed to. The other one's done it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, you know, I can't do it because I don't have this and I don't have that. Nah. Be faithful to what God calls you to do.
Right.
Because God, whatever he gives you, whatever little bit it is, it's important if it's in the kingdom of God. Amen. God bless you tonight. We'll sing a song.
He abides.
Amen.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way for the hand of God in all my life I see.
And the reason of my pleasure, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides in me. Abides in me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides in me. He abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. He is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides in me. He abides. Night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. There's no thirsting of the things of the world, they've taken wing. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter. Abides in me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard of how he died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides in me. He abides.
Sing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
God bless you tonight. Amen. All hearts and minds clear tonight. Amen. Amen. Remember each one that's not here with us and looking forward. We won't be here this Sunday. I'm going to be preaching for Brother Martin Varela this weekend. So y'all just remember us. And I guess some of the other ones will be traveling also. But just remember each one. And I want to say God bless you. And I love each one of you. And we are a family. And y'all are my family. And I feel closer to y'all than a lot of other people. There's a supernatural connection. And even with all my faults and failures, you know, I'm just pressing the battle. And you know, I just want to be an asset to the kingdom of God. I just want to be a help. And I want to be a help to each one of you, if I can. So, I just appreciate the Lord, what He's done for us. He's brought us all this way. Like I said, you know, each person that has a battle, it's all of our battle. You don't fight any of your battles by yourself. Sometimes you feel like you're on an island by yourself, but you never are. And you know what? When one of us gets the victory, we all get the victory.
That's right.
And if you have a need, if you have a problem, you have a question, don't be afraid to reach out to somebody. Please reach out. And you know what's so amazing? Sometimes you sit down and you find out people. I've had people tell me, it's like, "Brother, we've been praying for you. You've been on our heart. You just come across my mind." Somebody sends you a text message. Just straight out of the blue. See, God's mindful of you even when you don't realize that. When we get on the other side, you're going to find out just exactly how many prayers went up on your behalf that you never even knew existed.
Yeah, right.
We're so blessed. Sometimes we don't realize that.
Yeah.
Well, God bless you. Let's just all bow our heads and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Lord, what a wonderful time it is, Lord, that we can come and gather with those of like precious faith, Lord Jesus, and open the pages of your word, Lord, and look in there and see the promises that you've given us. Lord, realize how blessed we are that what you've given us. Lord, you've given us eternal life. We are sealed unto the day of our redemption. Father, words can't express that. But Lord, we just want to say that we love you and we thank you for all things that you've done for us. Lord, I just pray for each one that's here, Lord, in this assembly, Lord. I pray that you bless them with the rest of the week. Whatever they go through, Lord, you'll be there with them, touch them. Lord, bless the young people as they go to the camp. Lord, bless the ministry. Bless the counselors. All that'll be taking part in it, Lord. I just pray that your hand be upon them, bless them, watch over and keep them. Lord, most of all, we pray for our pastor. Continue to hold him up, strengthen him. Lord, we just commit ourselves into your hands. Lord, as we leave this place, Lord Jesus, just watch over and keep us. Lord, bring us back at the appointed time. Lord, we thank you for all things. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.